Testing. Testing.
Yeah. Good morning, Teller. All right, let me try this. Praise the Lord, Teller. There we go. Praise the Lord. Good morning and welcome to Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Teller family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from the great city of Philadelphia, PA, home to the Philadelphia Eagles. Amen. Amen. I had to put that out there for y'all. Y'all boys, good luck to them. So continue to welcome everyone, and when you see them, you know, if we can just do a warm welcome as it is that we are all family under God. Amen, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to read one of my favorite verses, Psalms 100. And I'm going to read the full thing for you. Don't worry, it's only five scriptures. I'm not going to do you dirty this morning. It's only five. It's real short, but it is one of my favorite, Psalms 100. And when you have it, just say amen. If you need a minute, just say, hold on. I understand. Trust me. So when you have it, please stand. Psalms 100, I am reading the New King James Version, a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. Has God been faithful? Amen. Has God been faithful? Amen. Is God faithful? Yes, Lord. I know he's faithful to me. The psalm says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. Enter into his gates with what, Teller? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? So you ought to lift up your hands and just say hallelujah to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We thank you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. In the name of Jesus, God. To lift our hands and say thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We come asking for nothing but thanking you for everything, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Every door you've opened, every way you've made, God, we say thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for covering our parents, God, for covering us, God, and for covering our children, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for covering our friends, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Even those who don't quite know you yet, God, or don't believe in you, God, you still reach out your hand and cover them, God. In the name of Jesus, God. And we thank you for that, God, for your mercy and your compassion, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for your grace, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for your blood, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for it was your blood that stopped the car accident, God. It was your blood that healed the cancer, God. It was your blood that cured our minds, God, in the name of Jesus, God. It was your blood that forgave us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we say thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the blood that you shed on Calvary, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for coming down off of your throne, God, in the name of Jesus, God, just for silly old me, God, in the name of Jesus, God. For you are a perfect God in the name of Jesus, God. And you thought it was justice and righteous to come down and save us, God. So we say thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. We praise your name, God. And I ask that you bless this service, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Move the way you want to move in this mighty house, God. In the name of Jesus, God, have your way, God, in the name of Jesus, God, regardless of what we want, God, regardless of the game that's coming on later, God, you have your way this morning, right now, in the name of Jesus, God. Let your power fall when we call on your name, God. Let healings come down when we call on your name, God. In the name of Jesus, God, shift the atmosphere, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Let it be an atmosphere of power and praise, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We come before you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We enter your courts with praise, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call up our sister, Alice, who's going to do our praise and worship. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet sound in your ear. One time, I love you. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Yes, we. Sweet sound in your ear. I can't do it. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet sound in your ear. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you all please stand and welcome our pastor?
Good morning and God bless you. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah. Do we not have this row of lights on for a reason? Somebody flip these lights on. It just looks dark to me, that's all. Plus, I'm getting older. My eyes can't see as good. There you go. Now we in church. Now I feel like God here. Now that light's on coming from heaven. No, God bless you. God bless you. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to get right down to it. Judges, the 16th chapter. We're continuing to look at the life of Samson, and by it and through it, we are preaching to our young men, our young boys, our teenagers, our young men. You see, they're serving all over the church today. Thank you for your service. Hey, just by a show of hands, raise your hands if you've been getting anything out of this sermon series. Good, good. That lets me know I'm on the right track. There you go. There you go. How we doing? Everyone have it? Judges, the 16th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 4 to 22. Amen. Okay, here we go. It says, afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him. Find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Samson said to her, they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. She said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore, Delilah took new ropes, bound him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me, told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. He said to her, you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom. And said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say you love me. When your heart is not with me, you have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart, said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. But if I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she went and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. And so the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought money in their hand. And then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Verse 20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before and at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That's a sad state of affairs. When the presence of the Lord is and you don't even notice. And so he said, 21, then the Philistines took him, put his eyes out, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Verse 22, our last verse. However, the head of his hair began to grow again after it had been shaven. Amen. This morning, with the time that I have allotted to me, I'm going to preach from the subject, The Dangers of Dating Delilah. Okay? The dangers of dating Delilah or her sister. Sometimes it may not be so obvious, right? Maybe her sister. Oh Lord, our Lord, how precious and holy is your name. How wonderful are the words contained in the scriptures of life. Holy Spirit, thank you for imparting unto us godly wisdom and spiritual understanding by and through your word. We count ourselves blessed because God has drawn our attention away from this life and caused us to focus on the life that we shall have. Thank you for your word, because it is a lamp that lighteth the pathway that leads us to righteousness. Thank you that in this dark, forsaken world, by and through your word, we ourselves have become lights set on a hill. And Holy Spirit, help us to shine brightly, radiate with the glory of God. Lord, help me, Jesus. I want to shine. I want to shine. I want to shine with the S-O-N. That men may see our good works. Glorify the Father which is in heaven. Father, I thank you for this, for these your sons, these young men, these young women, these ladies. Thank you that they're here, heart open, mind attentive. To simply ask, is there any word from the Lord today? Lastly, Lord, remember me, your manservant. It's not by might, not by strength, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord God. Anoint me to preach your word this morning. Holy Spirit, cause your word to go forth as a sure arrow. Hit the mark of hearts and souls everywhere. This is our prayer. And all the people of God said amen, amen, amen again. Come on, give God the best praise. On your way down to your seat, come on, give him your best. Come on, take 30 seconds and just thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory. Fill the atmosphere with his praise. Lord, I thank you. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. I've been encouraged by the overwhelming positive response to this series of sermons that have been primarily targeted towards young men and men. Thank all of those that have been attending in person and virtually. But I've also been amazed by the number of young women and women who have told me how much they have also been blessed by the series. And so before the young ladies start asking me about a series specifically for them, let me say, or point out rather, that this series is just as much for you, young ladies, as it is for young men. How so, Pastor? My message today, again, targeted towards young men, is entitled The Dangers of Dating Delilah. Right? This same message is also for young women. I would simply change the title and would just call it Don't Become Delilah. Are you with me? So it's the message is for you, right? You just got to hear it, right, through your own ears. So, right? So don't be like, oh, the pastor hasn't done a sermon for young ladies, and I'll get around to it, and I will, but I don't want you to check out on these messages saying, oh, the pastor said that's just for the men and young men. No, it's for you too, right? Because as we go through And as we have been going through the past Sunday, as we go through this Sunday, it's the same message, but just hear it through your own agenda, right? We're here talking to young men about Samson, right? But hear this message through your gender and understand that the enemy also wants to tempt you into becoming like Delilah, right? But you don't do it, right? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, good. Let's jump right into it, right? Let's get down to business. It said afterward, verse 4, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, right? For those of us who have grown up in the church, Sunday school, we know, like I said earlier in the sermon, we know Samson, things we know about him, strong, long hair. And for those of us grown up in the church, the name most often associated with Samson is Delilah, right? How many of you, before we started this series, knew that Samson had a wife? Right? Right? A lot of people don't know that. They only think it was Delilah. No, he had a wife before Delilah, right? How many of you, before this sermon series, realized that Samson frequented the houses of the night? Right? Some knew that. Many people didn't. Again, they only know Samson and Delilah. But he had other stops along the way. The reason why I'm lifting that up, how do I say this? You can look at your history and tell. Right? It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. Even though you may think it is, it's not a secret what you like. You may think it is, but it's really not. If someone just had could see into your history and your past, they'll notice something. You keep coming this way again and again. Why? It's something you like. And as you look through this exam, by the time we get to Delilah, we can already see from Samson's life, he has a what? A pattern of what he likes. Right? And so Delilah doesn't surprise us by showing up on the scene. Why? Because we have been looking at the history of Samson's life. Samson's weakness for women of low character and of Philistine loyalty reappears, right? He erred continually by going to her daily, allowing himself to be entrapped in her deceptions, right? He could have broken off way before it got bad, but he kept going. Tina Turner made famous the song, What's Love Got to Do with It? Right? Now, love may be some of it, but it is not all of it. College football coach has made this comment to a group of young men. He said, today, you must trust the person you're with your life. Right? He was trying to help again. He said, don't just one wrong turn, one wrong incident. He said, well, everything, it can be over for you. Right? So he was trying to say, guys, you got to, don't just, you got to think it through. Right? You got to have a long-term view and perspective on things, right? Which is difficult as what? As a young man, right? The great thing about young men is that what? We're strong. The Bible said, I call the young because they're strong, but he said, I call the old because they know the way. The danger of the downside to being young is we're inexperienced. Right? All the young guys are going to find this hard to believe, but this is a true statement. You don't know everything. right? But when you're young and strong, you think you do. Or I'm going to say this is even worse than thinking you know everything. You can become like Samson and believe you can get out of any and everything. Why? Because you're young and strong. And not only am I young and strong, but what? I've done it before. Right? You read this. I don't need to preach the story. You know the story. Samson is alive. Just shake himself. The cords fall off. So he just thought he can just what? Keep doing it what? Over and over and over. And there would be what? No consequence. Right? You guys with me? Okay, good. So we got that, right? Samson, Delilah. So verse 5. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him. Find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him. Why? We've been trying and we can't defeat him. The Bible tells us that Samson was a judge in Israel for 20 years. For 20 years, they've been trying to defeat and they can't take him out. Right? So now they got to say, hey, well, let's find a weakness. Right? And let's get a back door into him, because just coming straight on, he's got a power we don't have, right? So they said, hey, you entice him, right? And they said, for that, we'll give you 1,100. Listen to this. That we may bind him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So make a footnote on that. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. So one, let me say this, right? Watch out for gold diggers. In Samson's case, silver diggers. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. I'm preaching now, man. I got you on the gold diggers, but now it's silver. But the reality is, she never loved Samson. For Delilah, it was all about the prestige, it was about the sex, and it was about the money. Right? The thing on that, the reason why I wanted you to, that 1,100 pieces of silver, that in and of itself is a lot of money in biblical times. But the point I want you to, you got to study it to see, is that it says, the lords of the Philistines, we will each give you. So she just didn't get 1,100 pieces of silver. She got 5,500. Why? Because there are five lords in the Philistine rule or authority. There were five lords. And the Bible said, the text just said, each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Right? And it was enough to sway Delilah in their favor. Right? The money did it. Tell me your secret. Tell me what hurts you, right? So that's the first point I want to make out to. I want to say to my young men and my young women, watch out for gold diggers. A gold digger is a person, historically a woman, but not exclusively a woman, who pursues a romantic relationship primarily to gain wealth and material possessions from a wealthy partner. The term implies that the relationship is motivated by financial gain rather than genuine love or affection. Are you with me? All right, look at somebody. Just tell them, watch out for gold diggers. They're out here, if you don't know that, right? So if nothing else, you can say, hey, my pastor told me. Whether you choose to listen or not, that's That's you. Verse 7. Here it is. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, I shall... Listen to this. Everybody listen to this. Especially my men. He said, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Right? Do you get anything out of this sermon? Right? I want you to get this. What your enemy wants is for you to become like any other man. Right? Right? For the ladies, what the enemy wants for you is for you to become like every other girl. That's what he wants. Right? Because if he can get you to become like everyone else, you got to understand, everyone else he has what? Influence over. Right? He's the prince of this air. Right? The Bible tells us that this world is what? Under his sway, under his influence. So if he can get you to become like everyone else, right? And turn your back on what God has said you are, he's what? He's got you. Right? He's not trying to kill you. He just wants you to be like everybody else. Right? Look at somebody and tell them, don't be like everybody else. So the lords of the Philistines, they brought fresh bowstrings, not dried. She bound him with them. She had men in her home waiting in a secret room, staying with her. She said to him in verse 9, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Right? He what? He got out. Set a trap for him. Right? But because he hadn't told the truth, right? He hadn't told his secret, he was able to what? Get out. Right? Verse 10, then Delilah, Samson, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, they bind me securely new ropes that have never been used. Then, listen, God, everybody listen. Then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Right? The enemy's showing you his game plan. I says, all I want. I don't want you to hate God. I want you to love God. But I want you to just become like everybody else. Do what everybody else is doing. Go where everyone else is going. Right? He's not saying, oh, just, no. Just be like everyone else. Hang out with your girlfriends more. Hang out with the fellas more. Just be like them. Right? 12, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. He what? Got out again. Right? This is the danger. Because he's able to just shake himself, right? Ropes fall off. Whatever's holding, he's able to, right? And now he's Superman again, right? He's starting to build up his confidence in himself more than in God. Why? Because he's the one, he just shook himself. The ropes fell off. Couldn't hold him, right? Verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me, and all you have told me is lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. He said to her, you weave the locks of my head and into the web of the loom. And so immediately she wove it tightly, the batten of the loom, and said to him, the Philistines are on you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the, again, just shook it off. Shook his head, all of it came out. And he was once again Samson the Great. Right? He got out of it. Again, right? And then she said to him, How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Started out by telling you, what's love got to do with it, right? In the days and times in which we live, you need more than love, right? I don't say anything more than that. I didn't help you get down the road. So but Pastor, I love him. You don't understand, Pastor, I love her. That's great, right? But it's what? It's not enough, right? Not enough for you to make a life decision on, right? Because like the coach said, whoever you're going to be with today, you must be able to trust them with your life. Right? And let me just say this something about this trust thing, even though that's not what I'm preaching about today. Trust takes time. Right? Can't trust somebody in 3 months, 6 months, you know. All you can do in 6 months or 9 months or a year is figure out what they like to watch on television. That's about the best you can get in that. That's all you can get. Right? But in order to develop trust, one, it takes time, and it takes experiences, right? You got to go through some stuff to know whether or not you can trust them. Just the reality, you don't know. Just the fact, I trust you, right? It doesn't mean anything until what? You're in the fire, right? Now you're going to see if I can really trust you. Samson's relationship with Delilah had never been through the fire. Samson had no way of knowing if he can trust her. But thank you, Holy Spirit. The reality was, Samson had every evidence that he what? Could not trust her. Look what he was doing. Telling her, listen to what she said. She said, tell me where your strength lies and what can afflict you. And then what the text says? Do you know what that word afflict means? It means to hurt you. She's saying to him, tell me how I can hurt you. That's literally what she's saying. Tell me your secret. Tell me the one thing that if I say it or do it will bring you to your knees. That right there, years ago, we used to watch, I don't know, Space Jam or something, they had the robot called, and his name was Will Rock. Warning, you just go through the place. Warning. Why? Danger was coming. He was trying to tell Will Rock, look, something's not right. Something in the atmosphere is changing. Something inside of Samson should have went off. Something should have went. And then we say, warning. Danger. Delilah's not who you think she is. Right? But because he was more driven by sexual intimacy, this is what he did. He overrode what God was trying to tell him. I believe God was trying to warn him. But I believe he did what most men do when God talks. That's what we do, right? Because why? In us, most of us as men, we want to what? We want to be God, right? We don't want to be that God, but we want to be God of what? Of our own lives, right? Our own circumstance. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do, where to go, right? And it gets worse over the years if over the years we keep what? Getting out of it. I know I shouldn't be with her, but it's all right, because when it get hot, I can what? I can get out of it. I can get down the road. It won't hurt me. It won't mess me up. I can keep going, right? But the reality is, it is messing me up. It is hurting me, right? And so now, she's here. How can you say you love me? Right? Now she's playing the love card on him. Emotional, sweet on him, right? Where most men give in, right? And you see what Samson does, right? Said it came to pass, verse 16, that, now, ladies, listen, this is your part of the sermon. If you do this, you're down the road, or rather not, don't do it. She pestered him daily, right? All the ladies look at each other and say, don't do that. Don't do that. If you haven't learned, I've said this once. If I said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. This is my observation. It may not be yours. My observation. Women tend to process verbally. What I mean by that, women think while they talk. So my experience, you don't have to agree or disagree. Right? Let me say, this is the opinion of the one who's speaking. Right? My opinion, my right to it. That the women I've known, the women I've encountered in my family, relationship, all that, they tend to think while they talk. And so they seem to have a desire to want to talk more. We think they just want to talk a lot. It's not that. It's that they want to, because they're thinking. Literally, while they're thinking about it. Right? Men, on the other hand, when we think, right? This is how we think, right? Here's an example of men thinking. There's one. All I'm up here thinking. And what are they doing? Nothing. That's how men think. We don't need to talk about it to think about it. This is men thinking. Put it on a postcard or a website. That's how we look when we think. We just sit there. Right? And if you want us to get through our thinking process, it is best if you what? Leave him alone. Right? This is the challenge we go through as couples, right? Because a woman, her natural intake is the what? Well, she thinks we're like her, so she wants you to talk to her. Right? Thinking that I want to talk, you should talk, and we can keep thinking while we're talking and work it out. It just doesn't work that way. Again, this is the opinion of the one who is speaking. Your experience may be different. But this has been my experience. And so the challenge becomes a woman has to talk. And so men, what we have to do for our women is we got to what? Listen. And just let her go. She's wound up. You just got to let it run out. It may take a day, two. It may take the whole weekend. But you can't stop her. And when you sit there, you got to pay attention. You can't listen and watch the game. Man, the pastor is helping me today. Lord, help me. I feel the Holy Ghost helping you. You can't sit there and say, I'm listening and watch the Eagles game. You either got to put it on mute or better yet, just turn it off. And what? Endure. Let her talk it out of her. Why? Because she's processing. She'll get to the end, but it's going to take a minute, right? So, fellas, that's what it's not enough for us. We got to sit there and we just got to let it go. I got enough young guys, enough older guys. Remember how when we were young, we played, what do they call it, tops? Where we spin the spinning tops, right? And the whole thing when we would battle one another in the driveway was what? See who could spin their top for what? The longest. We just standing. That thing was. But then it started wobbling. Right? And all we could do was just stand there. What? Until it stopped spinning. That's what you got to do. The women in your life. And I'm just not talking about wives and girlfriends. I'm talking about your mom. I'm always on my boys. I said, you better stand there and listen. Don't suck your teeth and go upstairs. That just makes it worse. Learn to stand there. And listen to what your mother, when she's finished, then go do whatever. Don't cut her off. Don't walk away. Right? Likewise, women, you've got to learn for the men in your life. I tell this to me all the time. Just say what it is. I had to listen to get it all out. And of course, when she's finished, she wants what? She wants an immediate answer. I've been talking all weekend. Now I want you to say something. Right? The only, nothing wrong with that, but you got to understand, he or I may not be ready to yet. You just given us this big data dump, right? And now we need time to what? Process it. You process yours while talking. We process ours while sitting down, watching the game. And let me tell you this something. A lot of sisters don't believe this. When we're watching the game, we're really not watching the game. What we're really doing is what? Thinking. That's what we're doing. You think, oh, he's just sitting there. Why he just watch the game all the time? That's our think time. That's our private time. We're left alone with our own thoughts. You follow what I'm saying? Raise your hand if I'm helping you. All right, don't raise your hand. No. You follow what I'm saying? Listen to what the text says. The text said she pestered him daily. Soon as he come in the house, Samson, tell me. I just walked in. I still got my coat on. Where does your strength lie? Tell me what hurts you. Look. When you see words in the Bible, you got to understand the Holy Spirit chose those words on purpose. So that you can get the essence of what was happening. She pestered him daily. Do you see that? Then look what it says. Pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Ladies, don't become Delilah, right? It may seem okay to you, but you may not realize you're killing him. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible said she pressured him to the point of death. It was daily and it was very intense. Right? Look at somebody and say, don't be like that. Because when you are like that, listen, it's a sign that you might be Delilah. That's what Delilah did. Supposedly to a man she loved. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. All right, let's get down to it. I'm running out of time. Verse 17, and so it says, finally, he told her all his heart. And Lord, please, don't do that. Unless you have, it's someone you trust. Samson should have known by now. Just based on past experience. Every time I tell her, she what? Tries to afflict me. That should have been a sign, but like either leave, right? Or don't tell. But again, he thought he could play with fire, not get burned. No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. And if I am shaven, my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The reason the devil is attacking you is because he wants you to become weak and like any other man. What the enemy wants is for you to become an average Joe, right? Look at somebody and tell me, I'm not an average Joe. The Roman writer tells us in the 8th chapter that Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? Help me preach a little. Just tell somebody, you be a witness to them. You're not an average Joe. No, the fact that you're in the house of God is a sign you're not an average Joe. The fact that you're here on a Sunday morning listening to a pastor preach the life of Samson is a sign you're what? A not an average Joe. The Philippian writer says this, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at somebody and tell them, you're not Samson. Samson began to believe the hype about himself. Samson began to believe he could always get over on the women he was dealing with. He thought he could always manipulate them. He thought that his strength was his own. But it's not your strength, not your power. I can do all things through Christ. He's my source. He's my secret power. As long as I stay with Christ and Christ stays with me, I'll always be able to defeat the enemy. I'll always be able to gain the God help me. And as long as you know that, believe that, walk in that, the devil won't be able to do anything with you. He'll harm you. He'll try to hurt you. But it'll always fail because the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called. But the moment you tell your secret, the moment you give away your gift, that's the same moment you'll become like everybody else. And instead of being special, instead of being anointed, instead of being consecrated, instead of being holy, instead of being righteous, you gave away your secret. You gave away your anointing. You gave away the very thing that caused you not to be an average Joe. Touch somebody, say, don't give it away. Don't give it away. You're going to need that. You're going to need what God has given you. Somebody shout yes. Touch three people. Tell them don't give away your secret. Don't do it, Rob. Don't do it, Tyrone. Josh, don't give it away. Rat, the race is almost over, but don't give it away. Hold your secret. Hold your gift. Hold your anointing. God is going to use it to bring you out. We're the men of God. We're all the sons of Samson. Somebody shout yes. Woo!
give it away for love. Don't give it away for sex. Don't give it away for drugs, gambling, whoring. Don't give it away. Woo! Yes, it's what makes you special. It's what makes you you. It's what God gave you. Don't give it away. Woo! Don't give away your prayer life. Don't give away your devotion. Don't give away the word of God. Yes. Yes. Shout yes. Woo. Yeah, I gotta hold on to this. Yeah. Don't give away your shout. Don't give away your joy. Yes. 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 Sometimes that's all you got. Don't give it away. Woo! Yes. Yes. Shout in your living room. Shout in the bedroom. But whatever you do, don't give it. Good God, help me. Woo! Yes. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on believing God. In due season, you shall reap. You shall reap. Can I get 7 people to stand up and give God a praise? 7 people. 7 people committed. I'm not going to give it away, Pastor. I cried too much. I done been through too much. I'm not going to give it away at this stake. Oh, my God. No, no, no. Yes. Yes. Woo! Where are the sons of Samson? Where are the daughters of Sarah? Woo! God done gave me something. God has given me something, Josh. And I shall not, give it away. Woo! Yes! Pastor. That's a great sermon, Pastor. This is what I had an older man tell me while preaching through this series. Not one of the young guys. An older man came to me and said, Pastor, would you mind giving me your sermon notes? I didn't get all those scriptures you were rattling off. I didn't get all those points you were making. I said, sure. I gave it to him. That's what it's there for. So he took my sermon notes. And as he walked out of my office, he turned around. This is what he said. I wish somebody would have said to me when I was a young man, what you are saying now to these young men. He said, I'm older now and I still want the notes. But he said, man, how different my life would be if I would have had a man of God point to me the mistakes of Samson so that I could choose a better path, a better way. And we both praised God. I said, yep. But he gave his testimony and he said, better late. But let me have it. Let me have it. Let me have it. This is what I want to say to that man and to every other man. Just because you have missed it on the first go round. Pastor, great sermon, but I've already dated Delilah. Pastor, great sermon, I'm actually married to Delilah now. Great sermon. But I'm stuck and I can't get out. I wish I was in my 20s again. I'm not. Yet I can see how valuable it is. Pastor, what do you say to men already involved with Delilah? What do you do if she already got keys to your apartment? What do you do if she already has access to the things that can hurt you? Great sermon for the young guys, because they can avoid Delilah. They can see her coming and be like, nope. Nope. Pastor told me about you. Nope. What if I'm already dating Delilah? Sister Mary, what if I'm already married to her? Now, Pastor, what do I do? I'm already in a pickle, right? Now what? Verse 20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke out of sleep, thought that he could do what he had done at other times. But the Bible says he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Do you know why we come to church? To just check in weekly at the power source. I was late this morning. Y'all saw me running in. And you know why I was late? Went out to start Jermaine's car. So her car would be warm and running, all that. And it wouldn't turn over. Dead battery. Right? And it happened when? At the worst time. She's running out to where she's got to go. I'm running out, get ready to go to church. Thought I'd be a kind husband. Let me turn her car over. That way it's warming up and I can get down the road. But I found out there was no power. That's why we come to church weekly to just plug in one more time at the power source. Like, just so I can know again what I'm still connected. Why? Just so I can plug in again and know what? I still got power. I still got what God gave me. Why? Because this is where we use it in the house of God. So I plug back in. Yep. Still connected. Yep. Still got power. Why? Because unlike Samson, I'm not foolish enough to think that the power is from me. I know for a fact that my power comes from God. So I need to go to the powerhouse. Just plug in. Make sure what? I still got power. Look at somebody and tell them, I still got power. Yeah. Why? Because I plugged in. You can't check your power at home in bed with your pajamas on. You can't check the power source. You gotta come to where the power originates. The Bible said he tried to do what he did before, but didn't realize the Lord had left him. All I can say to you, young men, young women, men, women, every age, woe be unto you if you let the Lord leave and you don't know it. One, don't let him leave. Once God get in you, lock the door. Close to keep him in. But woe be unto you if you let him leave. The Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door. All you got to do is open. And he said, well, I'll come into you. But woe be unto you if you let him leave. Then I'm finished. Here it is. This is what he said. 21, the Philistines took him. They put out his eyes. I could preach that. I'm not. Brought him down to Gaza. I could preach that. That's where he was. Just a couple, in the beginning, that I'm not going to preach that. They bound him with fetters. I could preach that. I'm not. I'm out of time. And he became a grinder in the prison. The mighty man of God has fallen to the lowest depths. Samson went all the way down. He didn't fall a little bit. A part where he fell all the way down. But here's my message. For those of you who are dating Delilah right now. Here it is, right here, and I'm not going to fool around with it. Look what the text said. However, what a wonderful, anybody know what however is? However and therefore, words like that, they are what we call transitional words. When you see that in the text, it's a sign that what? Something is about to change. That's what, therefore. However, for which cause, those are transitional words. And so it says, however, look, his eyes are out. He's back in Gaza where he was with the harlot. His hands and ankles are bound with fetters. And now they've treated him like a horse and a mule to grind their grain. But the Bible says, however, the hair on his head began to grow again. Now I could preach this up, but you got your nice eagle stuff on, and you don't want to get all sweaty like I am. So I'm not gonna fool with it. This is my message to every man married to Delilah. And for every woman who might be Delilah, he's at his lowest point. And what? You see what? The arm of God reaching out for Samson again. How do we know? The text said his hair. If God really hated Samson, after they cut him, he would have left him bald. He said, I gave it to you once and you gave it away. You didn't want it. You treated it like it was nothing. But when I was young, I would always tell my boys, we go to the barbershop. No matter what haircut I got for them, they never what? They never liked it. And this is what I would always tell them. Don't worry about it. Because in another week or two, it'll all grow what? It'll all grow back. Pastor, I'm with Delilah now. What do I do? Wait on God and allow God to cause your hair to grow back. As long as you had hair, you had the upper hand on Delilah. But you thought it was your strength. When it really wasn't, it was your hair, which God gave you. So if you're here and you're in a bad place, a bad fix, a bad situation, and you wished you would have had this sermon series last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But now, Pastor, I am what I am. I'm where I am. And what do I do about it? I just want to close the sermon and just invite you, just how we started the sermon series. I talked that sermon. Look, it's all about your hair. Every man in here, just put your hand on your head. Every man. Every man. Your hair is growing again. God hasn't forgotten you. The anointing may have left you. But if we repent and seek God's face as we should have been doing. God told me to tell you, put your hand on your head. Your hair is growing again. I know you're in prison. I know you're not where you want to be. I know you're not doing the things you would like to be doing at this point in your life. But your hair is growing again. You may not know it. It may not be long and flowing like it once was. But what? Guess what? It's growing again. And if you can learn to walk with God while you're in the prison, you can learn to walk with God while you're grinding at the mill. Every step you take, your hair grows more and more. Do you hear what I'm saying? This part of the sermon is for the people who've given up hope. These are the people that's thrown in the towel, say, well, that's great for those guys. But I'm past that point, Pastor. Anytime the devil throws it up in your face, just put your hand on your head. That's all you got to do. Nobody got to know what you're doing it for. What's wrong with you? Your hair itchy? No. This is my sign. My hair is growing again. And the fact that my hair is growing again is a sign that God has not given up on me. Samson's story doesn't end here. We're going to preach out the end of it, but this isn't the end. You would look at it and say, oh, man, Samson went out like a sucker. No, he didn't. Got his heart back. Got his mind back. Started focusing on the things of God again. Down in the cellar. In the prison of life. His hair started growing again. Shall we all stand? I'm going to ask everybody to grab somebody's hand next to them, either on the left or right, front, back. As we close out this sermon in prayer, I want us to be connected. Not only to each other, but more importantly, be connected to God. The Bible says to them, he gave power to be called the sons of God. That's what you are. Every last one of you. You're a son of God. One Wednesday night, I'll work that out and I'll even prove it to the ladies. That's what you want. You want to be a son of God. I'll work it out one Wednesday night. That's what we all are. We're sons of God. And I know some of us have fooled around with Delilah. Some of us have dated her and her cousin and her best friend. We have the scars to prove it. But in spite of that, you're still a son of God. In spite of what he'd done repeatedly, Samson was still a mighty man of valor. And I want to challenge you. You got a couple of days off this week. I want you to go and read Hebrews chapter 11. What they call the Hall of Fame of the saints of God. Guess whose name is in the Hall of Fame? Some guy who dated Delilah. His name, you'll read it. One of the great ones. And that's who you are to God. You're one of the great ones. That's why he's got me preaching this message today to you. Why? You're one of the great ones. You're not an average Joe. Come on, squeeze that hand. Squeeze that hand. There's life in there. There's life in there. Every time you squeeze that hand, it's just a sign that God is not through with me yet. Come on, squeeze that hand. Come on, people of God, this is your part in the sermon. This is where you can be a conduit of God's grace. This is where you get to be a conduit of God's love and of his mercy. Squeeze that hand. Let them know that God has not forgotten you. Squeeze that hand so that they know their hair is already began to grow again. Squeeze that hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as the people of God, the children of God, children of the Most High. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the ministering of the Holy Ghost today. Thank you for the hair that is on my head. Hallelujah. Thank you that I feel it growing again. That my life is not lost. Lord, today I pray for every Samson. Lord, today I pray for every Delilah. That the elect of God shall be called, chosen, and drawn into your presence. In spite of the enemy trying to get us to be like every other man, you won't let them do it. So I thank you for the power of God. I thank you for the pull and draw of God, the upward call. Lord, today I thank you for these young men. I thank you for these young girls. Thank you for pouring your word into them. That they might become mighty men of valor. And incredible women of faith. Keep them according to your word. Establish and prosper them. According to your will and good pleasure. And in all these things, get and receive glory for yourself.
The people of God said, amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, before you sit down, just give them any kind of praise, anything. Anything you got left, just give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Whatever praise you got, whatever thanksgiving, whatever worship you have, Lord, I give it all to you. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. At this time, we're going to raise our offering. If you're here this Sunday and you're in charge of the offering, yeah, give me one. I'll take one. Anyone in charge of the offering? Am I in charge of the offering? Maybe, maybe. And we know how we do this, right? Right? And so you have the offering plate there. If you're giving manually, cash or check, the offering plates are there for your tithes and offering. There's an offering plate there for your pastor as well. If you're giving electronically, you know how to do it. Type Taylor 61 to the number that's on the big screen there. For those of you who are watching virtually, you can always go to our website today, any day during the week. Go, there's a giving page. You can go there. Give electronically using your card. We thank you for it. If you're remote and you want to mail in a gift, you have the mailing address, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. I've never had the chance to thank you. Before I started the series on young men, I was preaching a series on giving and generosity. And I want to thank everybody in the church who has increased their giving as a response to that series. Thank you for it. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your liberality in giving. Thank you for all of our young people who are now giving, right? Who are now giving. Pastor, I only got a part-time job, but I'm sowing. Pastor, I'm only working a couple days a week, but I'm giving. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and return it to you 100-fold. Amen. Now, with that being said, we're going to move to our announcement. And I believe our only announcement at this time is Angel Tree. And so hopefully you've signed up to be a giver to one of the children in our Angel Tree group. Sister Zakiya is here. She's in the back. Maybe you've brought your gift already. Today, next Sunday, you can bring in your gift for whatever age group of the child or family you may have. Would you please do that? What a wonderful thing. For if you're not familiar with Angel Tree, we're giving to children whose parents are incarcerated, right? Unable to give. You want to say something, Z? Yeah, come on up. Upsy-daisy. No, you're not.
Good morning, everyone. So according to the announcements, and I'll keep it brief, one of the questions that we asked around Angel Tree was, how can you help? And I just wanted to say thank you because you have helped. Every person that we have signed up has been a sponsored child. So unfortunately, if you didn't get a chance to see myself or Cecilia, we don't have any more children to sponsor. So thank you very much for that. I thought you would receive the information by text. Everyone received their information by email. So if you have not received your information, please see me. I will resend the information to make sure that you have your child's name in their gift list. And the other thing, like you said, we're accepting the gifts now. We're accepting gifts until December the 7th. We're going to wrap gifts that day. And what else? So if you're like, well, I do want to still help in some way or fashion, we need gift wrap and tape. So, and also people to help wrap gifts on the 7th. That's it.
Amen. Thank you. Good announcement. Thanks for the update, Z. Everybody in good shape? Come on, let's stand and get out of here. Once again, thank you. Not only for your attendance in person, also virtually. But more importantly, thank you for your attentiveness to the Word of God. Right?
it tells us, let us give more earnest heed, right? Consider more important the things of God than the things of this world. Come on, let's look heavenward now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless, without sin, without stain, without wrinkle, before the Most High God and the heavenly angels. Lord Jesus, thank you for washing us in, by, through, and with your blood. Thank you for giving us garments of white, covering our filthy sin, and that which separates us from God. Today we are justified by faith. We count it a privilege to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. So Lord Jesus, cause that grace to go with us even as we depart this place and depart this company of people who are of like precious faith. Let that grace go with us. Let the people of this world see the light of the Son of God. Help us to shine bright as a light set on a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Make sure you greet everybody. Greet everybody. Don't let anybody leave. Greet everybody. Thank God for all of our visitors, guests, our friends. Thank God for all of our children, all of our young men. God bless you. Mighty men of God.